Welcome to Sensible Health Solutions, the show where we simplify health and wellness. Join your hosts, Haley Fields and Dr. Scott Looper, as they share practical tips and expert insight to help you navigate common ailments, nutrition, and overall well-being. Tune in for straightforward advice that empowers you to live a healthier life.
Hey, Dr. Looper.
Hello, Haley.
How are you today?
Very good.
Good.
So, not my boy. He's got a cold.
Oh.
And he's been coughing and sniffling and made me think about cough. And so I was thinking maybe we could talk about a cough and like what to do for it.
There's a lot of coughs. There's like a wet cough. There's like a dry cough.
Yeah. There's all kinds of coughs.
Yeah.
So mostly what you want to do with a cough is just kind of shut it down because it makes you uncomfortable and you just want to take stuff to block the cough.
And it hurts
and
it your
turns
throat.
Out to be, it hurts your throat and there's all that. And it turns out that is a bad idea because that cough is there for a good reason. It is trying to get stuff out of your lungs. If you got an infection, your body's fighting stuff. It's if you got a virus, it's killing the cells that are infected with the virus.
Mm-hmm.
And you got these dead cells laying around. And your body's trying to clean everything out so it makes more mucus. And there's white blood cells in there. And there's all this gook. And so in order to get it up and out, make it more expedient to
yep.
get the stuff... Or expectorant is the right. I can mix my words there. Anyways, what you do is you cough. And so if you suppress a cough, now you just took the system that your body knows how to clean everything out and get this thing better, quicker, better, faster, and you just shut it down. So now your body has to figure out other ways to get around the roadblock of getting better.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, most of the time what you want to do is not block a cough. You want to make it easier for a cough to go. So let's back up before we talk about how to fix a cough. Let's talk about the utility of a cough. You mentioned this already. There's different kinds of coughs, a dry cough and a wet cough and a gooky, you know, cough.
A phlegmy cough.
Consolidating cough. There's different kinds of coughs.
Yeah.
Let's just do the dry one first. So dry cough, first of all, let me just say that we have a reflex that if there's something that's irritating our lungs, the reflex is to cough it out.
Or
better
our throat?
Out than in. You know... The throat is close enough to your lungs that if you tip your throat, you get a cough as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're back to reflex, a protective reflex.
Yes.
So, if you got something, you know, lodged in your lungs, then you're going to cough and cough and cough until you get that thing out. Your body's going to work as best it can to get it out, but it's, you know, you have a compelling reflex to get something out. You inhale a feather. Right? Right, or whatever it is. Or you're you know, sipping tea and you accidentally breathe
in the tea.
Yeah, and then you'll cough and cough and cough.
Or you're outside in Fairbanks in the summertime during forest fire season.
Or you're outside in Fairbanks during the wintertime, the air's cold.
Yeah.
That'll do it too.
You're just outside in Fairbanks.
Yeah. So if you breathe that super, super cold air, it's irritating mm-hmm. to your lungs, and then you cough because mm-hmm. the... You know, number one response to anything that's irritating lungs is to cough. And so we want to respect that. And we want to pay attention to that. And we want to work with that and help that whole thing to work better. Now, if it comes to cold air, which is kind of a stupid example because the rest of the world doesn't have this problem. But what you do is you put a scarf or something around your mouth, right? And you heat the air. You breathe out and it heats it. And you breathe in and you breathe in more air. Kind of like a mini HRV system.
Yeah.
Right? Heat recovery unit. Right. So, anyways, you get to solve the problem that way. If it turns out to be something more substantial, not just cold air or dust, and it turns out to be some sort of virus or bacterial infection, heaven forbid, or something like that, then your body really kicks in the full system of survival because you don't want to get pneumonia. And so it'll start sending white blood cells into your lungs, and you'll get an increased mucus production. And when this happens, initially, you usually just cough up white. And that typically it indicates that it's a viral infection or early phases of a viral infection. It's not particularly dangerous. You go to yellow, that yellow is being tinted by white blood cells and debris and it comes up looking yellow. Now,
yeah.
At that point, you got some kind of either frank infection or a secondary infection going
yeah.
on. If it goes to green, right, or kind of grayish, yellowish, whatever,
yeah.
we call that green. It's not like a bright green.
It's like a dull,
pale. Dark, thick green. Mm. Then usually the color I've seen as people bring it in is darker. and you know, it kind of loses its translucency and it goes more opaque. That is a frank infection. Those people need to be on antibiotics. That's the go-to. I mean, if you can't handle antibiotics, it doesn't mean you're going to die. It just means your body's going to work a lot harder. And if things don't go right, you're going to get pneumonia.
Yeah.
And with pneumonia, the infection is just worse. You know, the infections are, you can get a, you know, a little tickle, a little something, and your body just resolves it, you never even know. Or you can get something that actually gets the bronchioles to get inflamed, then you have bronchitis. Or you get something that actually gets some consolidation in your lungs, and mucus starts to settle down low, because it doesn't come out, it settles in, and that's pneumonia. You actually get pneumonia. And you can hear it as a doctor. You use a stethoscope, you can hear the sounds change. You can hear the crackling is another thing you hear. You can also hear there's a weird sound transfer thing where the sound comes through the consolidated lungs differently than it comes through the air. And so you get a different sound. It's called egophony is the name of this thing. And it's a sign of infection that's settled. Now, these are all, you know, serious infections. In the old days, you had a good chance of just dying from this kind of stuff. Nowadays, since we've invented antibiotics, the chance of dying has gone way down. But a cough is appropriate. You don't want that. You don't want to shut down the cough and let that stuff sit down there. You want to get that stuff up and out. Now, the problem with cough, though, if it's bad enough, you can't sleep. Now, and it also hurts, right? And just you get racked.
Yeah, and your throat gets all irritated, and you get stuff in your ears.
Right.
All of it, the entire system.
Yeah, so that whole upper respiratory infection thing.
Yep.
So what do you do in those situations? Are you saying, Dr. Luper, I can't take any cough medicine? No, what I'm saying is you can't take a cough suppressant. What you can do is make the cough work better. You can actually get it to go better. So think about, what is the cough trying to do? Get stuff out of your lungs.
So do you need to, like, invert yourself?
That would be one way to do it. Yeah. Hang from your heels.
Yeah.
And let gravity work the other way.
Go upside down for
a bit. That's not particularly comfortable.
No. You get headaches. you get head rushes.
It's kind of a misery thing. You're sick already, now I have to hang by my heels?
Yeah.
Yeah, you really don't want to do that. Wait, is there something else we can do? Yeah, you can thin the mucus.
Okay.
You can take a mucus thinner. Mucinex is a brand name, but guaifenesin is the actual substance. And it works well. You can pick it up at the grocery store. It's not hard to pick up.
Yeah.
You don't have to. You need a prescription to do it. You can also take N-acetylcysteine. N-acetylcysteine is a form of cysteine, and it's a natural mucolytic, and you'll cough stuff up. Now, this is good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, except for too much of a good thing is a bad thing. Now, let's say you take a double dose of a mucolytic, and now what happens? Your mucus turns to water.
And then you're
And water goes down, running. And now you've got pneumonia.
Oh, okay.
So these things that thin your mucus are helpful. These things that turn your mucus to water are not helpful because it consolidates. Now, if you're hanging by your heels, we're back to just draining, but you're going to be coughing a lot to get all this stuff out. So there's a line where you want to move it in the right direction, but not overtake your body's ability
to
deal with
it. And you don't want to suppress it, because then suppressing it will just trap it in your lungs
longer.
Makes you worse.
Makes you more likely for it to turn into the next level of infection.
Right.
So before I was a naturopathic doctor, I went and did a bunch of interviews with people, patients, naturopathic doctors, people who ran the school. I always wanted to know what this naturopathic medicine thing is. Like, you know, is it a thing, for real? And one of the people I talked to was one of the deans who was a practicing ND, and he used cough as an example of naturopathic medicine. He says, if you go to an allopathic doctor, they'll give you a cough suppressant, typically, you know, or recommend one over-the-counter, Robitussin, something like that, and you feel better for it. And great, you know, this is good. Medicine, better living through chemistry. He said, you go to a naturopathic doctor, they don't want to do that. They don't want to suppress the cough. What they'll do instead is they'll have you drink ginger tea. He's telling me this as he's sipping ginger tea, by the way. And he says ginger tea is warm, steamy, and slightly irritating. Mm-hmm. So the warm and steamy moistens your mucus and makes it more easier for it to come out. The slightly irritating, that gingery stuff, the heat, tends to increase mucus production. So then, it becomes easier to get it out. And so what you're doing is actually accentuating your body's processes, getting them to work better, by doing sensible things instead of shutting down the process. He says that's the essence of naturopathic medicine. If Funny thing is, he told that story, and I thought, sign me up. This is what I want to learn how to do. I want to learn how to work with our bodies. It just resonated as a true, as a thing that I wanted to learn how to do. And sure enough, I mean, the satisfaction of working with your body and getting things to work better is much, much better than just suppressing stuff,
right,
in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, I have a bent towards that anyways, thinking about, you know, how things work and how to get it to work better, as opposed to how things work and how to shut it down.
Yeah, how to hijack the system and turn it into something it was never supposed to be.
Yeah. I better rein it in because I'm getting on the ready to do a rant. I can feel the
back
building
to
in
cough.
Me.
Back to cough.
Okay, yeah, back to cough. So the other thing that you can do with a cough that's helpful, depending on how bad it is, and I'm thinking of a patient I saw recently who has a lot of mucus, has a chronic infection going on all the time, kind of a low-level infection, because he's got chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, otherwise known as COPD.
Yeah.
We have a fair number of these patients that have got levels of COPD, and he's got a bad one is what he's got. And so one of the things that it's very helpful for him to do is he takes some mucolytics, and that helps a lot. He takes an irritant. He actually uses a machine called a nebulizer that takes a liquid and then turns it to a mist so that you can breathe the mist in. It was originally invented to breathe in things like albuterol to open up your lungs and that kind of thing. But you could use it to nebulize other stuff, tinctures or essential oils and stuff like that. You got to be careful with that kind of stuff because it may be, if you could turn it into a mist, it may be too strong. But we've come up with a concoction using some very small amounts of tinctures and some very small amounts of oils, and we get the best results with him of anything we've ever done to keep the infections at bay. As long as he breathes his stuff on a regular basis, he doesn't get pneumonia anymore. We made basically figured out how to stop pneumonia. The thing is the dose is real important, and what it's doing is it's slightly irritating the lungs. It's funny, you wouldn't think that would be the thing to do. He's got COPD, we weren't irritating his lungs. But what it does is it generates a reaction, and so he makes more mucus, the mucus comes up and out and keeps the infection from being there. The other thing that we do is vibrate his chest. It turns out that there's a couple ways to do this. If you have someone lay down, what they do is they lay on the edge of the bed, they hang their head over the edge of the bed, they're laying face down, and you take your hands and turn them into coconut shells, like little cups, and you go cloppity, 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 and you do this percussion thing. It doesn't hurt. It feels good, actually. It's nice. Cloppity, 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 and then it jiggles the mucus loose, and then up it comes.
Ah.
There it is. It's out, up and out. So it's a nice thing to do if you have somebody to do that.
Yep.
If you don't, they have this machine, which is a vibrator that's got a head on it that's flat, and you hold it to your chest, and it shakes your chest. And the same kind of thing. And you have to do it from the front side because you can't reach on the back to actually do
it.
But you do it on the front side. But it does the same thing. It shakes your chest and then up and out. There you go. Turns out to be a way to get stuff up and out of your lungs.
Good thinking.
You're accentuating the natural process of your lungs without having to hang by your heels for an hour.
There you go. Not as medieval.
They do have a machine that does that. Uh-huh. I actually bought one.
An inversion table.
An inversion table. Yeah, I bought one. And you put these little things on your ankles and then it hooks into the machine and then you just tip back and you hang
out
upside down
for a minute.
I hated it.
I would think you would be one to have one of those.
It was not a happy machine.
Yeah.
I see why they invented them in the Middle Ages.
Sure. So what about a dry cough? We're talking a lot about wet, phlegmy coughs. What are dry coughs?
So what you want to do with a cough is, like with anything, you got a symptom, you want to figure out why.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Is a dry cough not enough mucus?
Yeah, well, you're not, for whatever reason, your body decided this is not a mucus problem.
Uh-huh.
We're just going to cough it out, whatever it is. It's dust or feathers or who knows what, right? Something you inhaled
in
the air.
What if it's chronic?
Or something, here's the thing, it could also be a lump. It's a tumor.
Oh.
So one of the signs of a tumor is a dry cough. And you just have this tickle. And you cough and you cough and you cough. Now, typically, if it's lung cancer, at some point you're going to cough up blood.
Oh.
Because the cancer is thin and friable. That means it can break apart. And you cough and it jiggles and then it bleeds. And then this is a bad sign. You got to go immediately to the doctor and get this worked out as fast as you can.
Yes.
And typically at that point, it's already too late. You're a goner. Not necessarily.
If you're coughing up blood?
Yeah, I've had patients that coughed blood and they survived.
Yeah.
Think of one right now. Lovely gentleman, and just the cancer treatment worked. So just because you got to be coughing up blood doesn't mean you're going to die, but it is a bad sign.
Yeah. For sure.
You want to go to the doctor ASAP, figure out what the heck's going on and get that, whatever that is, out. Typically it's some kind of like tumor thing. Mm. Another thing that we don't see anymore, but if you read old books that happened, that was tuberculosis.
Yeah.
That would cause you to cough blood up.
Mm-hmm.
People would cough blood because the infection got bad enough.
I'm thinking of like whooping cough with little babies.
So whooping cough is another infection, and it triggers a stronger cough than most other infections.
It's like a barky cough.
So much it makes a funny sound, and the whoop is them going as they're trying to get air because they're coughing, cough every last little bit of air, and then they whoop the air in so that they can cough more. And it is a miserable cough. Again,
yeah.
You don't want to shut it down, though. You shut that cough down, and then the infection... The reason why your body wants to get the cough so strong is because it's fighting for its life. It's trying to get the infection out. So, I mean, what you want to do is go get antibiotics. We live in the modern times of antibiotics. You definitely want to use antibiotics to treat this thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Or better yet, do the vaccine. You know, vaccination's got a bad rep lately. I don't want to switch the show to vaccines. But vaccines can cause problems on people, and folks know that.
Sure.
Uh-huh. Yeah, except for if you do the math, way more people are helped by vaccines than are hurt.
Yeah.
Just letting you know. Now, as an individual, it sucks because you may get a problem. But as a society, it's way in advantage of doing the vaccines. So vaccines are a good thing, even though occasionally you have a bad thing that happens from it. So I've already said this about vaccines. I'm a big fan of the COVID vaccine. I thought it was a great thing, except for the COVID vaccine sucks because the side effects are really bad. And I'm one of those people who got the side effects.
Yeah, the side effects.
It ended up triggering lymphoma for me.
Yeah.
Now I got it back under control and it's not doing anything. But the trigger of lymphoma when I first noticed I was having symptoms was after having done the booster for the COVID. And it triggered this reaction to me that got my white blood cells to multiply enough to where I crossed the threshold into having an actual disease that you could measure. And that disease unchecked would have been the end of me. But thank goodness I know ways to calm my immune system down.
Mm-hmm.
Did all those things, do all those things. I never stopped treating it. And then it's calm now. It doesn't cause any problem. But that was all triggered by COVID vaccine.
Yep.
So I've sworn off vaccines personally because they trigger my immune system. But again, I'm still a fan of vaccines as a whole. And I'm thinking of the pertussis vaccine. Some diseases you should just get. I mean, there's some chance that you could die from them, but the chances of having vaccine problems are too high, like chickenpox.
Uh-huh.
The chickenpox vaccine is a waste of time. You should just get chickenpox. That's my opinion. The pertussis vaccine is a lifesaver.
Pertussis
vaccine you should get.
What is that vaccination for?
Well, the vaccine, what it does is it protects you from getting pertussis.
Oh, okay.
That whooping cough.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. Pertussis,
yeah,
and whooping
pertussis.
Cough, same thing.
Okay. Gotcha. The medical term for whooping cough. Yeah, and especially considering, like, it's, you know, really prevalent in little babies.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go back to the main point I'm making here. Cough medicines are bad. Wait, really? They're all bad? No, they're not. The cough suppressants are all bad, but cough mitigators are not necessarily that bad. Turns out there's a bunch of herbal stuff that you can take.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go next.
Yeah.
Like,
that actually doesn't suppress the cough.
Here.
Yep. So there's some herbs that work particularly well of soothing your lungs without shutting down the cough. Verbascum is my favorite, otherwise known as mullein. It's a roadside weed that grows in Oregon. I mean, it probably grows other places too.
Uh-huh.
I remember it in Oregon. It grows about as tall as a human being and has these big, fat, velvety leaves. It's a really, actually, striking plant. And when you touch it, it's like, oh, wow, it's like velvet. Yeah, don't be fooled. Those are little hairs.
Yeah.
They get in your skin.
Yeah. Irritate your skin because they're protecting itself.
They're there
itself.
Not to make you pet. There is a protection that the plant is going to irritate you so you don't eat it. If you're like an animal or something, or you don't mess with it. Yeah, so it's not to be messed with. But if you take it and make a tincture out of it, it's fabulous. It's super soothing. It's really good for earaches. It's good for cough. It's good for sinus infections. It's good for upper respiratory stuff. It's soothing. It gets your mucus to flow better. It dials the cough down without getting in the way of your body's ability to do anything it's doing. Just kind of, everything works better. Is that the only herb?
No,
it is not. There's another herb called Colt's Foot, otherwise known as Tussilago. That's a close second to Verbascum. It's another particularly effective soother. It coats mm-hmm. your lungs, and it's safe. You give it to kids. Nobody gets sick from it. You know, it's just basically a safe, you know, again, weedy herb that is really good for upper respiratory infections.
Mm-hmm.
Sundew, known as Drosera, is a little stronger. Sundew is still good for upper respiratory infections. If you do a lot of it, it's a cough suppressant.
Oh.
So herbs can be drugs.
Yes.
And sundew in high enough doses is a drug.
Yeah.
You get a drug effect from it.
Okay.
So, like that.
I would think maybe glyceriza as well.
Glyceriza is good. It helps regulate your immune system.
Mm-hmm.
And so the immune system works better. If your immune system is running low, it brings it up. If it's running too high, it brings it down. Let's go back to the COVID conversation. What was killing people in COVID wasn't the virus directly. The virus was triggering this immune system reaction. The immune system reaction was what was killing people. So, I mean, clearly the virus is part of the equation here, but what was actually killing people was their own immune system. So if you can calm people's immune systems down and get them from overreacting, then the chances of dying just basically went away.
Mm-hmm.
Glyceriza is one of those things. It's not the strongest thing that does this, but it's certainly something that's worth mentioning. And really, the short list was vitamin D and fish oil.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think what the other thing was. Mushroom extracts.
Oh.
Those regulate the immune system better and keep you from dying from COVID.
Yeah.
And anyways, the glyceriza is on not the short list, but, you know, the secondary list behind it, keeping people alive. But COVID, it really is milded out. COVID's not killing people like it used to.
No.
Thank goodness it's evolved into a milder form, which is usually how it goes.
Yeah.
I mean, when you look at these kinds of infections, that's what they do. They mutate, they get really bad, right. And then they mild out. It's to the organism's favor not to kill the person who's harboring it. Because then, it you know, you're one and done.
Right.
Whereas if the person survives, they could get it again, or yeah. I don't know. You can mutate slightly. So really, COVID used to be a cold. And now it's turning back into cold. Now it's not a cold. It's stronger than a cold.
It's really solidly
in a flu
cold,
in the flu land, but it's not the deadly thing it used to be. Oh, it still kills people all the time. But so does flu.
Are there any supplements that you would use to treat cough?
N-acetylcysteine I mentioned already.
Yep.
Nothing else jumps to mind.
I would think maybe something to coat.
So now we're back to the verbascum and the Tussilago. Those are coating. Yeah. And I know coating is not the word. We don't want to coat too much because we want the mucus to thin.
Because that creates more
and get
mucus.
Out. Yeah, we want to, remember, up and out. We're looking at up and out is what we're looking to do. I mentioned ginger as a way to kind of irritate the lungs and get stuff to come out. I didn't mention by name eucalyptus.
Uh-huh.
That's another thing. Yeah, yeah. Eucalyptus is a thing too.
In the
Vicks VapoRub.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's what we use in the nebulizer.
In the nebulizer, yeah. We got a drop of eucalyptus that goes in the nebulizer. And what that does is it irritates the lungs and gets some more mucus to flow. And then more stuff coming out means more bacteria coming out and a stronger response to preventing infection. So I don't necessarily want to talk people into doing the nebulizer. It's tricky and it could be dangerous. Sometimes doctors do things that you really have to keep a very careful eye on. It could go bad. And so this is not a do-at-home thing. I'm just telling you right now, it's not a do-at-home. You got to work with a doctor who knows what they're doing. Take a long time for us to figure out exactly what the right doses is by inching our way into it.
But even, you know, if you have a humidifier and you added a few drops of eucalyptus in the humidifier.
Put it into the air.
Or in your bathtub as you soak.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned humidifiers. Actually, there's two things I want to talk about. Humidifiers and then air purifiers. Air purifiers I love because they take pollen out of the air, they take mold spores out of the air, they take dust out of the air. They make it easier for our lungs. The whole system runs better. Air purifiers are a big, big plus. And a lot of times what all people do is just buy them and put them up in their house. The most important room to put one in is your bedroom because you spend more time breathing air in your bedroom than any other room in your house because you just lay there for hours and hours.
Yeah, right? And do you want to keep the door closed as you run air?
You want to clean the air, maybe. Usually, maybe though. Depends on the situation. I mean, fresh air is lovely too, as long as you're not poisoned by it.
As long as it's not fire.
I'm thinking how many times we had the woods go around us and pumping out smoke, right? So anyways, humidifiers are also excellent, except for they're not. They're excellent in the sense that your lungs work better with humidified air, and so it's easier to breathe. Dry air is more irritating. Humidified air is more soothing to your lungs. The problem here in Fairbanks, and other places too, is that if you put a lot of humidity in the air, it feeds mold.
Uh-huh.
And you'll start growing mold. And then mold could make this whole thing fall apart, and you get a way, 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 way worse reaction. So generally, I do not recommend humidifiers. They do help. They do make the air easier to breathe. There's no doubt about that. But they also cause this mold problem. So they'll help in the short run and hurt in the long run. So again, I don't recommend humidifiers, at least not here in Fairbanks, I don't. What we do instead to trap humidity in our bodies is to have a thin layer of oil covering our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And how you do that is by drinking fish oil.
Or chia oil,
right? Mm-hmm. We talk about chia oil too, it's another way to do it. And you do a regular tablespoon a day or a teaspoon a day, depending on how big you are. Kids for a teaspoon, adults for a tablespoon. And then you just do that regularly. In a day, it doesn't really do much. And within a couple weeks, you'll notice that you're better. Within 3 weeks, you're a different person. And you don't dry out as much, your skin's better, your lungs are better, you breathe better, your sinus problems are better, everything about you is better, your eyes are better, because all those things require a very, very thin layer of oil to separate you from the dry air.
Mm.
And so if we become greasy, like I think when I do this with my dogs, I make sure they have a shiny coat, right?
Yeah.
Same thing with the humans in my house.
Yeah.
The humans all got to do oil, the dogs got to do oil, everybody lives in
How do you get your
Alaska.
Kid oil?
Kid?
Yeah.
I put it on a spoon.
Ah.
We call it lemon oil.
Oh. And he takes it?
Yeah, no problem.
Good.
Takes it right down. I have the pickiest kid there ever was, and he'll do lemon oil without a hitch.
Lemon oil. That's a good trick.
Because the fish oil's got a drop of lemon in it.
Sure, yeah.
And so it doesn't taste that bad. Kids will take it. Yeah, it's not that bad. The only thing...
I think I messed up. I called it fish oil, and my kid was like, nope.
You know, the thing about it is it's oil on a spoon, so some people just don't like the thickness.
Yeah.
And they can't take it.
That's for me. I have to put it in my smoothie.
That's another way to do
it.
Yeah. If you take the capsules, the problem is it's hard to take enough capsules, because you really need a lot.
And fish oil is a food. It needs to be bioavailable as well.
Well, yeah, if oil is not one thing. There's lots of different kinds of oil. Some are more penetrating. Some are less. You think, well, what about olive oil? That's great. Well, it's less penetrating. It doesn't seem to work as well. What about coconut oil? Same story. What about avocado oil? Same story. So what are the thin oils? Flax oil, chia oil, fish oil. Those are penetrating. So there's probably more to be said about this, but that solves the problem. We cook with olive oil or coconut oil. And then we take fish oil or chia oil or flax oil or all three of them in order to saturate our bodies and make ourselves greasy. We need oil here in the north. We live in a weird place. It's super dry. I mean, like, unbelievably dry. It's one of the driest places on the planet, worse than a desert, because all the moisture got froze out of the air. And so we're in single digit humidity, yeah, normally. And I never had a skin problem in my life until I moved here to Alaska and made me itchy. But as long as I chug fish oil, I got no problem. I get a shiny coat. Good. This is good for lungs. Same thing. Reason why we got it in this for cough, this is one way to protect your lungs, so that they're not so irritated. So this is a long-term solution to a cough. You got to do it on a regular basis, though, because otherwise, if you get a cough and drink fish oil, it doesn't do anything.
You need to keep yourself,
you know,
a little oily.
A little oily, greasy.
I think that's all we have for this episode, Dr. Looper. We covered quite a bit.
Good. I hope you liked the show.
Yep.
It was kind of a pedestrian conversation, but I don't know, stuff comes up. Well, people need to go about coughs too.
Yeah, and a couple weeks back we did ear infections.
Yeah.
I heard lots of feedback on ear infections, so I'm sure there are, you know, people out there. It's cold season in Fairbanks, a lot of kids out there are getting sick, and yeah, good information.
Pretty good.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Sensible Health Solutions. We hope you found today's discussion enlightening and packed with practical tips to enhance your wellness journey. Remember, small changes can lead to big results. If you enjoyed the episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us bring you the best content possible. Stay connected with us on social media for more health insights and updates. You can find us at Sensible Health Solutions across all social platforms. Until next time, stay sensible and stay healthy. This content is for informational purposes only and is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Seek medical advice from a healthcare professional for any medical conditions.